This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why.
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
It's a Friday.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
And you know what else it is?
What?
Did you know what today is? A very special Friday.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
The Friday the 13th.
Yes. Are you scared?
I am probably the least superstitious person that you could ever come across.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't.
So you're not scared?
I am not scared.
Of Friday the 13th?
No, I don't have any of that. I was trying to think, because I think we've talked about this because we've been doing this for 20 years. I just was trying to think of like anything that I'm superstitious about. Like, do you have lucky socks? Do you have this? Do you not do that? You know, ladders, you know what? I don't think
I have anything either.
I just don't really have anything. I have things that I like. Like I have a piece of jewelry, like just a necklace that I wear, but like I didn't wear it. Like I forgot to wear it today when I was leaving the house, and it doesn't jam me up that I don't have it. It's not like if I'm flying without it, I'm like, the plane's going down, or Friday the 13th, or full moons, or I don't know. I don't have any of that. Although I probably should, because again, I'm a big believer that whimsy makes life that much more interesting. So maybe I should inject some superstition or some astrology or whatever, but
you know, the only thing,
I got nothing.
I don't either. Well, you know me.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I come across, and I'm not superstitious about it, but I'm like, uh-oh, there's a, you know, blank.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Whenever I see a black cat.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, uh-oh. And then, of course, I immediately go, you're an idiot.
Why the black?
Move on.
Why the black cat?
I don't know, because I guess, well, you know, the whole thing about
black.
Black cats, you know, yeah.
But like regular cats, nothing.
Like, no,
I see cats and I'm like, yee.
But what about walking under a ladder? Like, are you?
No, I.
Do you ever? You don't even think about that. Like, if you walk under a ladder, do you? I mean, I know you're not superstitious, but do you think about? Oh, you're not supposed to do that. You know, that type of thing.
Well, I'm trying to think of when's the last time. Like, are there a bunch of ladders to walk under, or is this a daily problem for you? Like, you're walking around and you're like,
well,
you
like
know
you're
what?
Cleaning your gutters or something, and you.
No,
come down,
that
you walk
honestly never crosses my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of something that would cross my, like, that I would think about. Maybe that I'm not superstitious that I would be aware of. I guess sometimes when I'm walking, like I walk my dogs every day, the step on the crack stuff, sometimes, but that's kind of like a fun, like I play like a little game of hopscotch.
That's a little OCD of you.
It was like, yeah, I guess that's more OCD than it is superstitious, but like also, you know, step on a crack, break your mom or dad or I don't know, break someone's back. So I will have that where I kind of, you know, I'll
so
kinda,
you are superstitious,
but it's not because it's I do it for about 2 minutes and then I get tired of it, but it's like a game. Again, it's just like something like I kind of hop around. I'm like, oh, no cracks. And then after 2 minutes or whatever, 30 seconds, then I don't care. And I just go
you
about
forget.
I go about my day and I start walking.
Yeah.
But I've met plenty of people. I mean, you play sports long enough, man. You meet some people that are superstitious.
Dude, baseball's the worst.
Oh, I bet.
Of all the sports, I think.
Well, yeah.
I mean guys in baseball, there's some voodoo stuff in baseball, man.
Some voodoo and hoodoo and all kinds of weird shh. Well, what is the, like it was the Bull Durham, right? If you respect the streak, if you think you're playing well because you're getting laid or not getting laid or because you wear women's underpants, whatever,
right?
You respect the streak. And baseball is so streaky. There's no other sport that has failure like that, right? Like if you're an offensive lineman, if I go through a slump where like I'm hitting 160 and I'm blocking like one or, you know, one or two out of 10, guess what? I'm benched. There is no, like that doesn't exist. So you like, they're like slump busters and all that. It's really a unique sport that because of the amount of failure and then you ride a heater, I think it lends itself to that. And there's a lot of downtime.
I think, you know, yes, there's a lot of time to think in baseball and that's no good.
Yeah.
But, it's the idea that when you're hitting well or when you're playing well or when you're seeing the ball well,
yeah,
you know how fleeting it is. So you don't change a damn thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there, but like, I think there's something to that. If you think that something is happening because of whatever, yes,
exactly.
You are dumb if you ignore that intuition.
Yeah. Whatever helps you.
Whatever helps you, man. Whatever think you
it's
get
like
that,
the Lord above.
Yes. Yeah, right. If you think that God or Buddha, or as I like to say, Tom Cruise, Odin, whoever is helping you out, then
that's
by
right.
all means, keep praying to him, or, you know, I don't, sacrifice a chicken, whatever it is that you do.
Send him money.
I don't. And it's weird because this wasn't a superstitious thing. I just kind of thought it was neat. My brother, like growing up, I always wanted to be like my brother. Like he was my football hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And he played at, obviously he played at Washington State, and they had these, I don't know, they just called them the Grays. This was before Nike or anything. So it was a Russell Athletic like t-shirt that they would hand them, like a workout shirt. Right. And my brother would always cut it up. So it would have like no sleeves, and there was like a V in the neck, and he would give me those to like work out in and stuff. And I always thought that when I was a little kid, like eighth, ninth grade, those to me were like the best things. And I wore one of those underneath my pads, like in high school. And then I got to BYU, and obviously they give you their own stuff. And they've got, you know, now at that point there was dry fit and compression and all this and that. And I wore that gray, that Washington State undershirt underneath my pads until eventually it just disintegrated. I don't think it lasted my senior year, but I wore that like every game that I played in up until a point where it died on me. And that wasn't like a superstitious thing. It was just kind of like an homage. I thought it was kind of neat that here was this guy that I had wanted to be like and had taught me so much about playing football. And now here I am playing at that level. And so it was just kind of like a tip of the cap to him.
Yeah. I think it just makes people, like you said, it makes people feel better.
Yeah.
It makes them feel like they're more in control.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, like when you link things that aren't linked at all, mm-hmm. but you do it anyway.
Yeah.
To make you feel in control. Like, don't walk under the ladder because that's somehow going to, you know, save you from, you know, that asteroid hitting you directly.
We were just talking about this the other day that I was listening to a podcast and someone was talking about that.
But that's a lot of life, I think, is just the things that we do in our head to give us a sense of control
and
reduce our anxiety.
And that can go to what you were talking about. You always bring this up with religion or sports or whatever.
Faith.
And and this guy was talking about this. In fact, I think it was Malcolm Gladwell, actually.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
I love him.
I think it was Gladwell that was having this. And he had this. It was really good. It was like about 10 minutes he went off on this. And he said that we are very weak. And we were just discussing this, but we're all weak kind of creatures, and most of us live under some sort of uncertainty, right? And that we're not very strong, we're not very powerful, we've got bosses, we've got cops, we've got laws, we got this, we got that, that in the grand scheme of things, we're not in control of a ton. And so we seek out things, you know, the movies we watch, the music we like, the whatever, we seek out all these things that
makes us feel better,
make you feel better, and that gives you a false sense of control, gives you a false sense of justice, or that, you know, if I just do these things, everything is going to turn out well. And, you know, the cougar isn't going to come out of the woods and maul me, or the tribe from next door isn't going to stick a spear in my neck. That all those things were like hardwired into us. And now we're kind of away from all of that, but we still have all that anxiety and fear and all that stuff wrapped up.
You know, that guy Gladwell. Nobody explains the complexities of life.
He does a great job.
Simpler
yeah.
than him.
Yeah.
Which is why I love him, because I'm kind of dumb, so I need it dumbed down. And so he's good about that.
When you listen to smart people, it's amazing. Yeah. You're like, oh, really smart, and I'm dumb.
Right, and then you can't follow them because they're so smart. Yeah. And it's like, ah. But Gladwell speaks plainly and, like, down on my level, which
is great. Neil deGrasse Tyson I really like, but sometimes like that. He gets on stuff and he loses me.
Yeah. You know who's like that a little bit? He just left here. Dave Bartu.
Yes.
Sometimes Dave Bartu is talking, and you're like, Dave, what on earth are you talking about? Like, his head, man.
It's often a different.
What is in that guy's brain?
There's a lot going on.
It's another level.
Yeah. Dumb it down for me, Dave. Yeah. Dumb it down.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Friday the 13th. I hope you guys aren't scared out there.
Mike, very have you scary had any ghostly times. Encounters?
Yeah. Friday the 13th, Mike. You scared?
No. Not scared, nor have I had any ghostly encounters today. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
That is disappointing.
Damn.
I was hoping for some sort of haunting.
Damn it. All right. Well.
It was Jason Voorhees, right? Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, have they started putting 13th floors back into buildings and stuff and, like, build new buildings?
Well, there's always a 13th floor, but they just don't put it on the elevator.
Well, yeah, they label it as the 14th
label
floor,
it as
right.
the 14th.
Yeah, it's not like they skip the... wow, there's a hole in this building.
They leave an entire section just completely empty.
Yeah. They're always there, but yes, I still think that is a very real thing for a lot of people, is there's just... You can get into elevators and a lot of high-rises and stuff, and there won't be a 13.
I think in most... Well, I shouldn't say most. I don't really know. But I think in a lot of new ones, there are 13s. Because when I first moved here, I lived in a high rise and there was a 13th floor.
Yeah, we're over that crap.
And it was like a fairly new building.
Get out of here with the 13. I'm not scared.
Do we know why 13 is so unlucky?
No.
Anybody? Like
no clue.
Maybe someone's telling us right now, but we can't hear them because...
Someone's screaming. They're like, I've been waiting.
Because it's a ghost.
Some believe this is unlucky because one of those 13, old Judas was the betrayer of Christ.
Oh, God.
But was he 13? What if he was like 7? Do we know that he was the 13th apostle? Did we?
I can't get over Rob's reaction. I'm sorry. I'm not even listening to you.
Of course, it's religious.
Says that Judas was the disciple who was the 13th to sit at the table. So what?
What does that mean? Who cares?
Well, it's Judas.
Yeah, he was bad, right?
Yes, he was bad. So I don't know if that's the official.
Cool story, bro.
That was the first thing I Googled, and it just that popped up.
There's big Christianity just leading our Google searches.
Yep, just right off the top.
Rob, absolutely.
Disgusted.
I could have said anything there and you would have been happy other than when I broke out the Judas.
100%.
100%. Yeah.
I support this bill. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right. Let's get to going. We've got Joey Harrington today. He's on our show 5:30, usually at 5:30 on Fridays, right? Isn't that when we interview him?
That is correct.
We'll do it again today. Let's go. Wrap up the NBA. Well, not wrap it up, but discuss the NBA playoffs. To kick it off, you ready for that?
Boy, James,
okay with that?
James Harden.
James Harden, back to sucking.
Boy, if he needed a cherry on top of his sucktitude,
yeah.
Boy, he put one right on top of the sundae. And
he sure did.
And Embiid talked about it.
Yeah, we'll get to that next, all right? That's how we're going to start. 314.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. As always, well, not always. As most recently, it's been on Twitter.
There you go.
It hasn't always been on Twitter.
No, but I feel like it's made the move now. So you can say, as always.
It's officially on Twitter every day. So, yes, as always, on Twitter. At 1080 The Fan, give us a follow. AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today we're asking you a very simple but difficult question. Who got the worst end of the James Harden-Ben Simmons trade? Sixers or Nets?
That's tough.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
After watching Harden flame out?
I think I'm going to still say the Sixers.
Got the worst end?
They got the worst end.
Wow. Well, we didn't think that when it happened.
No, but let's I'll roll through this one. So even Embiid said after the game that when he showed up, when Harden showed up, they all thought they were getting the Houston James Harden. And he said that he's not that guy anymore. And he's not. He's on the wrong side of 30. He hasn't been in shape in years. He doesn't take care of his body. He's been battling nagging injuries now for the better part of three seasons that aren't getting better because he doesn't take care of his body. You've wasted all that to go out and get him, including, you know, having to get rid of a real glue guy in like Seth Curry. And now you have to decide whether or not you want to hitch your wagon long term to James Harden, which is going to be a mega massive deal. I mean, he's going to opt in next year. Do you realize his player option is $47 million next year?
Yeah.
And so, and then after that,
yikes.
And so what do you do? Right? Like, you can't trade him for anything. And if you let him go, then you mortgaged all that for what? And then you're back to kind of where you were at with no other true star to play alongside Joel Embiid. So I think if you're the Sixers, you're kind of backed into a corner. Whereas if you're the Nets, you still don't know what you have in Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons is young. And if he can get his health together and get the mentals, you still have a 6'10", uber athletic, arguably the best, guard/wing defender in the NBA with hopefully still a lot of good to go in his career. I think James Harden is washed. And we've seen this. When you don't take care of your body, whether it's in the NBA, the NFL, whatever, we see lots of guys that get by because they're just really good athletes. But eventually, when you get to the wrong side of 30, strip clubs, liquor, crappy food, late nights, all that stuff catches up to you. And you don't magically just turn back the clock at 34 and be like, I'm going to be in shape now. And so I really do think that James Harden is an absolute shell of his former self. And so if I'm Philadelphia, I think I'm really boxed in on this one.
Harden is 32.
Yeah.
Simmons 25, about to be 26.
And I think that's ultimately why I'd rather have him.
Well, but I don't think it's a I'd rather have. It's they had to trade Ben Simmons.
Yes. They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, they really didn't have a choice. And so this is one of those where, like, I always say this about the Blazers when we're talking about them. It's like, just freaking take a swing, right?
Yeah.
That's what we always wanted. Yep. Well, that's what the James Harden trade was for Philly.
Yep.
And it has not worked. And now you're right. They're kind of hamstrung. At the same time, I just can't be that critical of it because I was at the time, I'm like, oh my God, they flipped Ben Simmons' situation into James Harden.
Yeah, you got to try.
And that was a great trade. Yeah. So I it would be interesting to know what other trades they had for Simmons.
Well,
his
trade value was dying by the day.
Well, they got James Harden for him.
Yeah, at the time, we all were, and this is what, Mike, can you find that Embiid clip for me? Because when's the last time you saw?
He's very honest.
He is. You saw
almost brutally honest.
You saw a guy after a playoff series clear, not just run over, but back over a former MVP. I mean, and honestly, at this point, I don't know who fell faster and who's more washed. I think it's still Russell, but Russell Westbrook and James Harden, I mean, man, it didn't just go off the cliff. It Thelma and Louise it off the cliff. Like, they held hands together and just, Peter Panned off of the Grand Canyon. And with Westbrook, he's still really athletic and he takes care of himself. His game has just aged horribly. And that he's kind of become a dinosaur that he can't play with other stars. Whereas Harden, his game shouldn't have aged like this. His is a lack of dedication. And we see this all the time in sports. You do. When you don't want to put in the work and you don't want to take care of your body, and that's fine when you're in your 20s. You can go to strip clubs and you can eat McDonald's and you can roll into camp out of shape and play your way into it. That's fine when you're 24, 25, 26, but not when you're 32, not when you're 33.
All right, here's the clip. Joel Embiid last night after the game.
I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, yeah, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive, all of us, whether it's Tyrese or Tobias or, you know, guys coming off the bench.
Where's he from?
I think he's from the Caribbean somewhere. Yeah. I don't know if he's it's somewhere in the Caribbean. Yeah. He's from one of the islands, and I'm not certain where.
So after hearing that, I read the quote, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty brutal. Hearing his voice say it, it just kind of sounds like an honest assessment of the loss.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
it
doesn't sound like a shot at James Harden. It's more like, yeah, like, we thought we might get, you know, play, you know, Houston Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. And we were all lacking aggressiveness, just like he was.
But can you imagine?
By the way, he's from Cameroon.
He's from Cameroon?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was, I thought he's from one of the Caribbean islands. So from over in Africa. You don't hear that. You just don't. You imagine, you know, imagine Kevin Durant coming out and being like, you know what? You know, we thought we were getting the Cleveland Kyrie, and that's just not who he is. Like, you don't hear that from stars. And maybe he is just, he's different, and he's brutally honest. But, I mean, well, I guess you did hear that. The Nets GM came out and said that he wants players that want to be there and that need to be available and want to commit to the team. So you now have two teams that have bowed out and direct shots across the bow of two of the bigger stars in the NBA, in Kyrie Irving and James Harden. But Kyrie's still got some game left in him. James Harden is about to be, within the next year or two, if they give him that supermax, which, think about, you got one more year at $47 million, and then you got to decide what the hell to do. But if he gets the supermax, that's the worst contract in the NBA.
What is more likely, in your opinion, that James Harden is completely washed, or that next year he, in a contract year, surprises us all and goes back to Houston James Harden?
What is more likely? I think
because there's part of me that thinks that Harden is going to turn it on next year because he wants the supermax and is going to try to play like old Harden and remind people who he is.
I could see it. I don't think he ever goes back to Houston Harden, but I think he could be better than these playoffs.
How do you go in?
I mean, he didn't take a shot in the second half.
He took two.
Isn't that? Oh, in the second half?
Yeah. Oh,
didn't make a shot. Sorry.
Two shots.
Yeah.
In an elimination game.
And they just quit. I mean, you could tell.
He's just.
And they traded Simmons because he didn't take a shot in the playoffs for Harden, yeah, who didn't take a shot in the playoffs.
Exactly.
This is honestly, like, we both wrapped our car around a tree and it was like, I don't want to fix mine. Here, you take it. They just traded wrecked cars. But at least to me, Ben Simmons at his age, if he can ever figure out what the hell is going on between his ears, maybe he can turn into something. I think James Harden is a fat, over-the-hill, undedicated player.
So if they gave him the Supermax, he would be making $60 million for a year when he's 38.
If this is James Harden at 32, what does 35 and 36-year-old James Harden look like?
Probably a little fatter.
Yeah. I mean, he really, we always say that, like, 30, right, is kind of that, you know, I always say the wrong side of 30. And there are guys that defy it. LeBron James, who's taking care of his body like you wouldn't believe. So there are guys. I think Lillard's one of these guys that really takes good care of himself and hopefully will age pretty gracefully. But once you hit 30, your athletic prime is over, right? There's just, with the exception of Barry Bonds, and we know why, like, you don't physically get better. You can do your best to try to slow down the regression, and then hopefully your IQ and your kind of your court savvy or you know, whatever sport you're in savvy makes up for some of the lack of athleticism. But when James Harden was starting at 20, let's go 26 in his peak, he was a 29, 29, 30, 36, 34, a point score a game. And that's MVP James Harden. Since he turned 30, we're at 23, 22, 22, 21.
Yeah, he averaged 18 in the series against the Heat.
This is.
Did you see what Embiid said about this is Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, that he so
that's
likes,
the other thing. Like, how often do you
Jimmy Butler?
How often do you see a player, a star player, go, yeah, that guy on the other team's great, and I'm really sorry we let him go, and I'd like to go play with him, and I love that team.
I think Embiid is sick of playing with players who don't care.
Well, yeah,
because Butler cares a lot.
But he had Butler.
Yeah, but Butler. I think Butler chose to leave. I don't think he stuck around.
Well, that's not what he. Well, not that we should believe him. But he is saying that they chose when they won last night. Butler was screaming, "They chose Tobias Harris over me."
Whoops.
Yeah, so maybe they pissed him off and let him.
It's possible
down that road. But
I'll have to look and see if he left in free because I thought he left in free agency.
But that wasn't Maury though.
No.
Right? That was the previous regime.
I think that was the previous regime. But either way, think about that. When they had that Jimmy Butler squad, they are one Kawhi Leonard fall away three. The Philadelphia Sixers win the title that year with Jimmy Butler and Embiid and Ben Simmons if Kawhi doesn't hit that miracle three. That's how different we could view this. But if you're Joel Embiid, realize that you've been saddled with Markel Fultz. You've been saddled with Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You got a very volatile Jimmy Butler, although it sounds like he loved Jimmy Butler. And now you're having to hitch your wagon to freaking James Harden. I mean, my God.
If I'm him,
some help.
I request a trade.
It's like,
seriously.
I'm done with
like,
this.
Like, dude, get me out of here.
Yeah. And anyone being critical of...
Philly sucks anyway.
Yeah.
The city, I mean.
Won't be there. Anyone being critical, I saw Mark Schlereth was taking some shots at Embiid because he didn't play particularly good in the last two games. Joel Embiid was playing with a fractured eye and torn ligaments in his thumb.
Yeah, and that's his coach's fault.
Yeah.
That's the other thing he should be pissed about.
Being in the game with...
Yes, that occurred.
With like 4 minutes left.
That injury occurred with like 4 minutes left. They were up a billion.
Yeah.
Schlereth said... What was he doing in there?
Schlereth said, to me, as long as you're going to go out and play, I don't want to hear excuses about you being hurt. I'm like, what? You're literally playing with a torn thumb, and last time I checked in basketball, kind of important, and you're playing with a broken face, and I think it was in game five when he got hit in the face. He was never the same after that, probably because he had scorching pain running through his whole body because he just got hit in a broken face.
I think they should trade him, and I think the Blazers should call him up and say, listen.
What do you want?
I know you don't want to come here. Maybe you want to go to Miami or somewhere else, but if you come here and request a trade to Portland, I don't even know how they would trade for him, but let's just have a little fun, huh? It's Friday. Yeah. We will pay you whatever you want, and you will only have to play 35 games a season. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's the Yao Ming thing. Like, look, why is this guy playing in December?
Mm-hmm.
We are going to treat you with kid gloves. You're not going to get hurt here. We're going to ramp you up in March and April for the playoffs, and you take us to glory. You don't even need to worry about the first half of the season, fella. You can go lay on a beach somewhere. That's what I'd offer him.
Sure. I mean, it's...
I'd like that.
We always said that about Yao Ming, right? Stop playing the first half of the season.
Shaq kind of did it on his own.
Yeah, he had his own plan.
Which is smart.
Yeah. It worked
for those big guys, yeah. But Embiid, you know, it's like, dude, I'd trade for him, sit his ass down, bring him back in February, slowly meld him into the team,
and then be the eighth seed and be like, go get him, big guy,
and take people by surprise.
He's so good, by the way. So I looked it up. Butler was a free agent, and depending on who you talk to, right, Butler's gonna say you chose, you know, differently. I don't know how this all went down. But he left in free agency, and they gave Tobias Harris 5 years, $180 million.
Nah.
So that's why he was obviously screaming, you know, you chose him over me. Now, I don't know if they would have offered Jimmy Butler the same money. Does he stay? I don't know. But, yeah, Butler left, and they kept Tobias Harris. And now Jimmy Butler has led the Miami Heat to two conference finals in 3 years.
All right. Well, we get two game sevens Sunday. That's next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Talking NBA playoffs here. Right here now. A couple of texts, 503-250-1080. Someone says, it's so gross to have that much talent and be so fat and lazy. People hate it. We're talking about James Harden.
People get really upset.
They get so mad about that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, because we're just sitting here grinding away. Yeah. And it's like, you look at those guys and all the money they make. It's like, how could you just throw it away like that?
But you see it, like I said, you see it in every sport. And I'm not trying to justify anyone, because it is. It's an absolute waste. But the problem is that when you get by your whole life doing things one way, it's hard to, especially when you're of that level, who around you is able to get in your ear and tell you that what you've done since you were 15 years old is going to work now, right? And even at different, it's at all kinds of levels. Remember Travis Outlaw? Travis Outlaw wasn't an NBA star or anything. Remember when we found out that Travis Outlaw, like, his entire diet consisted of like Starbursts and like gummy worms? Like, he had the diet of an 8-year-old with no parental supervision. Dwight Howard was this way too. Dwight Howard had that. They said that early in his career in Orlando, Dwight Howard's hands went numb, and they thought he had early. He did. He was on the verge of being diabetic because he ate nothing but sugar. And yet, both of those guys, from the time they were little kids, had that exact same diet, probably the exact same work ethic, and it got one to the NBA and it got one to be the defensive player of the year and look like a freaking Greek god. And so how are you going to explain to Outlaw that at 28 or 27, that stops working, or at Dwight Howard, be like, hey man, when you turn 30, when you turn 31, your career is going to go in the toilet because you just haven't taken care of yourself. And so I think there's a little bit of that with James Harden. Dude, James Harden has been going to strip clubs and partying and doing everything that James Harden does right now his entire life, or at least his entire professional life, and it's led to 30 points a game and MVPs. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh crap. And 30 plus years of habits are really, really hard to break.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm like that guy. It's like, it's just, we really dislike when we see athletes do this.
Yeah.
Even though it's it happens. You know, does he love basketball? I don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem to care much.
Nah.
He's already made a gajillion dollars.
Yep.
Like you said, he's got a, party lifestyle.
Yep. And life's probably, I bet you
we
right.
look at this and we just shake our heads.
Yeah. Because when James Harden goes home tonight, do you think?
No.
Yeah, he doesn't.
To him, he's like, you guys can sit and criticize me all you want, and he can throw all kinds of numbers and money in our face. Like, look at this.
Yep.
You think I'm a bum?
Yep.
And he's got a point.
Yeah. He's going to be, and tonight he'll probably be with three of the hottest women that you've ever seen. And he'll be in a club somewhere with his famous rapper friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And he could tell me again, I'm a failure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what? I'll be fine. But this is, and someone says here too, think about the people you surround yourself with, right? What is the, let's take the other side of thing of Ben Simmons. What did we hear about Ben Simmons when he was leaving Philadelphia? Is that Ben Simmons, like his dad and everyone around him, is just, they refuse to talk honestly with him. Like, no one tells Ben Simmons that he needs to develop an offensive game. It's just like, Ben, you're doing great. These people don't know what they're talking about. You surround yourself with enough of these people that just feed into your bull, and you start to buy it. And again, it's an honesty thing. And you do get some people that eventually kind of start to figure it out, and you can get a little bit of that career resurgence. I think Carmelo had a little bit of this. Remember when all of a sudden he got into shape and he realized that his career was ending, and he better accept a role on the bench and kind of humbled himself a little bit. But imagine if Carmelo, who's one of the great scorers in NBA history, imagine if you could take what Carmelo learned the last 3 years of his career and put it in 22, 23-year-old Carmelo Anthony. You wouldn't just have one of the truly elite scorers in NBA history. You'd have one of the truly great players in NBA history. But I think that is, there's a lot more of Carmelo Anthony's than there are of Kobe Bryant's.
So we could get two game sevens on Sunday. We got Celtics Bucks tonight. Thinking about dropping a little something on Boston. I think they might win tonight.
I think it's only 1.5.
Yeah, I was looking at the money line. It's -105.
Mm-hmm. So, well, and no Scott Foster tonight. Did you see that? The extender is out.
Why?
Well, he's got to, I think it's non-illness COVID. So
he's sick.
He's sick.
Really?
Yeah, because when the announcement came that Scott Foster was there, we're like, oh, Boston's a lock.
Oh, hell yeah.
When the NBA needs a series to go seven, you just bring in some Scott Foster, and it'll get you to game seven. But Foster is ill with non-COVID, so all of a sudden the plot thickens.
That's awful suspicious. I don't know about that. And we already got Dallas Phoenix game seven.
Boy, I would have thought
Luka showed up last night.
Yeah, I would have thought that Phoenix was going to be able to close them out there, but man, Dallas will not go away.
They're tough. I'm thinking about taking them in game seven too.
You think about taking Dallas?
Yeah. Well, I just like the odds, like +210.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, that's a lot, man.
That's good value.
That's a good series.
Yeah.
And I get it. There have been some blowouts, and it's in Phoenix. I mean, you know, most people expect Phoenix to win, but +210.
Almost every game has been a blowout in that series.
Yeah, it's been really weird. Well, and we just is Golden State tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That the one we saw the other night, that was the worst game. So I mean, they were up by almost 40 at some point.
Didn't, the Warriors didn't show up.
No, they just
mailed it in.
I mean, that was a chance to close out a series 3-1, and they're like, kidding. Yeah.
I hate when teams do that.
I mean, that was.
And then everybody's like, oh, Grizzlies are better without Ja. Oh, shut up.
It's the definition of a no-show.
They were down 60 only, so that's not too bad.
Were they? How? What was?
They were down 60.
They were down 60.
Yeah, and at one point I looked at the live line, and I caught it when it said it was the live line was 45.5.
Oh my gosh!
Of course I didn't bet it, but no. You know what? They ended up only losing by 30. I think 35 or 36.
Righteous Bucks
+45.5 Warriors. Jeez. That was going into the fourth quarter. That was a lock.
They don't need Ja Morant. And I guarantee you somewhere on Memphis radio.
Oh, yeah.
Someone is making that point.
Yeah.
And they are really good without him. Their record in the regular season without Morant is it's oddly good.
Well, they play more team basketball. They don't just sit around and watch him do his thing.
Yeah, I'd still like that Morant guy in my lineup.
That's the problem with the NBA. You know, it's like
you've got
a Luka or a Ja and that's it and a bunch of other pieces that aren't, you know, star level.
Yeah.
You can fall into the habit of just sitting there watching their star do his thing, and that's Dallas's
problem. Dallas falls into that a lot.
Yeah, Luka's only 22 years old.
Is he really?
Yes.
He's 22?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So, point being—
He was 18 when he was drafted, correct?
Yeah, he must have been, because he's been in the league 23. Several years.
Sorry, just turned 23.
Just turned 23.
So, the interesting thing about that to me is that I think that if you watch Dallas— And maybe Luka's not wired this way. Maybe Luka goes down the James Harden path. I don't know. But I think if you watch Dallas in 3 or 4 years, you're going to see a completely different Luka Doncic. That's what's scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
just
right. He's
scratching
still,
the surface.
Still learning that element of like, dude, you need to get other. And then Shaq and those guys were talking about it the other night.
Yeah.
He's got to get other guys involved. Their team's going to be way better. You're not winning a title all on your own, dude.
No.
You got to get other guys involved. So he falls into that trap. But when he doesn't, they're knocking down shots. They are really good.
Scary good.
It's just hard to... He's a little young and raw yet. I guess that sounds weird because he's one of the top five players in the league probably, right?
Yeah.
But he's still kind of learning.
Yeah, you forget just... Well, you can even say the same thing about, you know, Ja Morant, who's 21 or 22. I mean, you are, in theory, scratching the surface, although I think Luka, as good as Morant and some of the other young guys... are in the NBA. Luka's a different animal. And also, too.
Luka's so much fun to watch.
Well, and what's Morant? 6'2", right?
Yeah. What about Jokic? Would you rather have Jokic or Luka?
I think I'm going to go with Luka.
Wow.
You're building around Luka?
That's really difficult.
It's tough. I love everything that Luka does. And
I think I'd pick Jokic.
Would you?
Yeah.
His body concerns me.
Yeah,
well, Luka's body concerns me. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, it's
like
the
I
same.
Said. I think there's a chance you see him even in better shape.
Yeah, if he ever...
With a better game. You know, like I said, he could go down the James Harden road. And you're right. Like, he's kind of got a little bit of that, oh, boy, in 3 years he could be fat and lazy.
Yeah.
But I also think the other side of that, if they stay on him and he's motivated to win, dude, the sky's the limit for that guy. I think I'd go Luka.
And I just, in today's game, I want a guy that, and you, I guess Jokic does this. I just want
back-to-back MVPs.
I just want the ball in his hands all the time as opposed to someone that I have to get the ball. And I know Jokic does have the ball in his hands a lot.
He brings it up the court sometimes too, doesn't he?
I know. That's why I was like, he's different. But I don't know. There's something about Luka's game that I you can make the case right now that Jokic is the better player. Obviously, he's won two MVPs. But again, one's 27, one's just turned 23. I'll roll the dice that in 4 years, Luka is the better player.
100%.
Yeah, I love everything about it. And for all the talk of, you know, the undersized guys in the NBA to becoming a guard league, look right now. Like, if you're going down, like, starting your team, take age aside, right? We're dealing with physical freaks. You watch Giannis at this point. Giannis is a modern-day Shaq.
Yeah.
No one can physically handle him. And you got Jokic, and you got Embiid, Luka's 6'7". You got Jason Tatum, who's long and rangy. Look, we all love the small under guy and Morant and Lillard and all these guys, but look, this is still a land of the giants, and it may not be 7 feet back to the basket. Give me the – if I'm starting a team, no offense to Steph or anyone else, bro, give me the guy that's 6'7 and above, because it's still the physical monsters to me that I think are running the NBA.
I think the way I look at that question, and this is maybe a little short-sighted because you're saying build a team, but – when I have watched games, think about like the Blazers. When the Blazers played the Nuggets and when the Blazers have played the Mavs, I had more fear of Jokic than I did of Luka. That may have been matchup based, but Jokic is just so dominant and unstoppable. And I know Luka's amazing. I just don't feel like Luka is at the same level of unstoppable as Jokic is.
Well, that's where I think the 4 years comes in.
Yeah.
Just wait, man.
It's... You may just be scratching the surface of where he's at. We know where Jokic is at, and it's ridiculous.
Go back to Jokic at 23.
Yeah, we're not talking about this.
No, he's not even wasn't even close to this.
No,
right? It was him and Nurkic, like in Denver, and it's like, I remember watching them. It's like, they might have something with those two.
He was bigger than he is now.
One of them became an MVP.
Yeah,
the other one,
he's all right.
He's still pretty good too.
Yeah, he's still pretty good.
You know who doesn't get talked about enough? And we'll carry this over and wrap it up in our next segment. But Devin Booker, I'm with you that, and I've always said this, that size is what matters.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what my wife says. Which is why we've always thought, even with McCollum, certainly, but even without McCollum, Damian Lillard is your superstar. You're still very limited because he's just not that big.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just those, that's why Anthony Davis is still so enticing. Because of his size.
Yeah. He just...
So I'm with you 100%, but one guy who is not that, but is, I think, oftentimes now overlooked as we talk about all these young stars, is Devin freaking Booker.
Yeah, we never discuss
it. He doesn't get thrown in the Jason Tatum, you know, Luka talk.
No.
And Jaw talk, but
and
he
they're
should.
They're the number one team.
Yeah, he's the star of that team. Like, they're the best team in the league, and everybody talks about Chris Paul, and rightly so. Chris Paul's amazing. Chris Paul is not... the star of that team.
No.
The star of that team is Devin Booker.
Yeah.
And he is amazing. And there's another one that in a couple of years, he's going to be even better.
Well, and I think it was this year. I got to look it up. I think he has, because he's not as, I think he's like 6'4", 6'5". He's a little bigger.
They list him 6'5".
They list him 6'5". Now I got to work at Google, so I don't want to put my foot in the mouth. I think he had one of the two or three best shooting guard defensive ratings in the NBA this year. So, I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about with, you know, being an all-around player. Booker doesn't get credit for being a good defender, whereas we just kind of assume that if you're a scoring guard in this league, we kind of throw you under the bus with everyone else and be like, oh, he just plays offense. And it's not the case with Devin Booker.
All right, we wrap up the playoff conversation next.
Right here. Phoenix Suns superstar Devin Booker, defensive rating 107.5, which is the best by a shooting guard in the league this season. I know that is, that's a subjective term. You know, some people throw that around. But he has become a much, much better defender than anyone gives him credit for.
You know what else he is super annoying.
Well, and he's got like 9 kids.
Oh, he does?
He's an interesting guy off the floor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Isn't he dating like one of the Kardashians? But he's really annoying. Like he's one of those guys that you want him on your team. And if he's not on your team, you hate him.
You hate him.
He's like getting under Luka's skin. Like I like guys like that, man.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul's like that too. So
yeah, it's,
we should really hate the Suns, you know, to be honest.
Probably.
But we don't.
Well, I'm rooting for the Mavs.
Cause we like me too, but I like Monty.
Yeah. That makes up for it a little bit.
Hey, we've got some Mariners news coming up too. 3:54 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour one is already over. Already over. Well, we could have two game sevens on Sunday. So we're going to get Dallas Phoenix game seven, and then if Boston wins tonight, they're going back to Boston for game seven on Sunday. So it could be a good little sports day.
Yeah, I mean, we all want game sevens, but I'd like to see Milwaukee close it out because really, I just like Milwaukee. So
talking about game sevens, NHL.
Yeah.
We're going to have like a ton of those.
I was just looking at that. So you have three game sixes tonight. Penguins lead the Rangers 3-2. The Panthers lead the Capitals 3-2. Mm-hmm. And the Stars are down 3-2 to Calgary. So the...
You could have a plethora of game sevens.
You could have three there.
Well, tomorrow we already have three game sevens in the NHL from yesterday's game sixes.
Yeah. Bruins, Hurricanes, Lightning, Maple Leafs, and Kings Oilers.
Yeah, this is the old...
I know my stuff, even though I'm reading that.
Look at you.
And then
Sunday... Good job knowing
Sunday,
where teams are, Isaac.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, so we could... Yeah, Mike's right. So you could have... Three game sevens tomorrow and three game sevens on Sunday.
Hey,
they always... You do have three game sevens tomorrow.
Well, I'm saying you could have six.
Yes.
For the
and
weekend.
Then the NBA could add their own.
Two.
Well.
Yeah, so the Mavs-Suns game seven is the first game seven of these playoffs in the NBA. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, we haven't had a game seven yet.
Huh, yeah. I guess now thinking back to it, no, we have not. All right, well, I mean, I love game sevens, but... At the same time, I'm ready to move on to the conference finals.
It's really about the AT&T Byron Nelson, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got big Phil Mickelson news today, too.
Yeah, he's not playing in the PGA.
No. How's that Saudi tour working out for you, Phil?
Yeah, that's kind of bad because he's defending champ.
Yeah.
You want to see him out there.
When's the last time we saw a defending champ, not because of injury, that bowed out of the tournament?
Yeah.
He lost all his sponsors, and I hope it was worth it, man. I hope you cashed some serious checks.
Well, he hadn't played in it yet.
Well, but
he's got to play in it now, right? He's taking all this heat for it.
He's taking all the heat.
Might as well go over there.
His career's in the tank.
And depending on who else plays, he could make a lot of money in that tournament.
Yes.
Right? Because he could be one of the best players there.
Yeah. We still don't know who's committed to playing in this thing.
No, not yet.
I ask you a question. Point blank. Will you go to the one in Portland?
I don't think so.
Yeah. The stink of it is just...
No.
It's just weird.
Well, it would be cool to see guys that level... play that Pumpkin Ridge course. That's one of my favorite. The private side at Pumpkin Ridge is one of my favorite courses in the state. I think it's a really good golf course. And I've played it, and I love to watch great players like that play it. But I don't think there's enough there to get me out there. Plus, you have all the, like you said, this kind of, like the smarminess of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If I go out there, maybe I'll try to butt up to one of the sheiks and get some money, you know?
See what you can do.
See if I can work a deal.
I don't think they're going to be hanging out.
You don't think they're going to be hanging out?
No.
You don't think they're going to be hitting the bars downtown Portland?
You head over to the beer tent, and there's just...
What's Dusty's dad's old haunt?
Helvetia Tavern.
Yeah, Helvetia Tavern. What if the Saudi sheiks just roll into Helvetia Tavern?
There's just a gold-plated Bentley.
Yeah.
And it's sitting out there, you're like...
Ordering burgers.
Well, look,
for their big golf tournament.
Yeah, don't piss them off. You're going to end up with the bone saw.
All right, coming up next, the Mariners and the Mets. What?
Well, now I'm still depressed. See DeGrom's on the damn 60-day.
Oh, yeah, that's new. I didn't see that.
Well, they transferred him to it. I don't know if that means the injury lasts longer. It's just he's out for a while.
He's out for a while.
God, that guy.
I know.
That guy.
He's so good.
He just can't stay healthy.
He cannot.
It is 4:01 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.